Okay, we'll call the December 11th, 2019, Amherst Town Council meeting to order. First items, if everybody would please silence your cell phones.
I'm trying.
That was perfect timing there. I'll explain the next two items in order. First, we'll all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Second will be the invocation. If during the invocation or at the invocation, if you are uncomfortable and wish to sit or step out, if you do wish to step out after the invocation is over with, Chief Shiflett, who is standing in the very back, will retrieve you and bring you back in for the rest of the meeting. So, if we will all stand, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is this good?
Yes.
Okay. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for every family that's represented here tonight, and I thank you for this council. I pray that you would give us wisdom, give us clarity, lead us to do your work. I ask that you would bless each one as they drive home tonight. Keep them safe. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, next item is we're going to be presenting the recognition of the parade, from the winners from the parade. First off, I would like to say thank you to everybody that participated, that is here, that participated in the parade. After a year off because of weather and other conflicts, I thought we do have a couple, it's always there, you got a couple bugs to work out, but I thought it was a very successful parade. It appears that everybody had a good time. So we're only looking to expand on that, and please don't forget our 4th of July parade and celebration we'll have here in the town. So we'll have another one coming at the end of June. So first off, we sent out something new this year. We sent out an asking people to try to name the parade. Or the theme for the parade. And so this year, the winners were Girl Scout Troop 1069. So your plaque is on back order, but Vice Mayor Carton has necklaces with stars. As our clerk said, y'all were rock stars for coming
That's
up
right.
with this idea. So if she wants to, or you want to come up here, either one, you young ladies, come up here and get your rock star, for and then we will send your plaque once it comes in.
And that theme worked great.
Yes,
it did. That theme was a really fun theme.
Yes, it was.
Tied up in knots.
Tied up in knots.
No, we'll get them on time here. There you are.
Yeah, we need to see pictures of y'all standing
yes,
up front.
We would like to get pictures.
There you are. Thank you. There you are. Thank you.
Don't go too far.
Okay. Are there more in your troop that need them? Because I'm going to send you with the rest.
Yeah. Excuse me.
10 girls that participated.
Okay.
And you need six more.
Oh, we've got plenty. Okay. Could I just have y'all stand together and I'll just take you girls? And if any of the leaders want to get with them, we can get that.
I'm going to close that for us.
Okay.
Come on, everybody get
up.
Sorry, I'll
take
it.
Yeah, y'all come on up.
Sweater.
Got this
Jessie
here.
I am. Hi, Jessie. I'm Nikki.
It's nice to finally meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yay!
Mr. Mayor, would you like to come
She presented them. Let her step in.
Okay. Well, I'd like to get a picture with one of you.
Well, yeah, somebody untangle this.
Oh my goodness, and that thing, I don't know if you got to see any of the floats, but like, that turned out to be fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it really did. Thank you very much.
And thank you for your patience waiting
on the front. Okay, first place on the float is Amherst County Special Olympics.
Thank you.
Let me come around there, and I'll work on that side from now on. How about that?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
That might work.
Thank you all so much.
Excuse me. All right, let's all get right here and so she can. Turn that way, or this way first?
Yeah, let me go this way.
Okay.
And you got one back that way too.
I'm sorry. Right here.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We would like to thank you all for the accommodations that we needed to be able to participate in this.
No problem.
Thank you for participating.
Thank
you
all for participating. Second place, Mount Olive. Come on up. I saw you hiding back there.
Ma'am, Kenny Martin.
Fine, sir. Thank you very much.
No check?
Oh, there she is.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Yeah. Let's close for thank you all so much.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Dance and play.
For dance and play, Madison Heights. Y'all were awesome. We were sitting up there. You were great. Fantastic.
All right.
Ready?
We got more of them?
Oh, wow. That's all we got? That's a big group. You guys get together.
Yeah, y'all come on up here.
And I would like to say on behalf of the principal of Madison High Elementary School, we really appreciate this honor that you're giving those young students, parents, and teachers who've worked extremely hard each and every year to bring about. We enjoy participating in the parade, and we thank you for recognizing our hard work.
Thank you. It was very enjoyable.
Smile.
Sir?
Can
you
get one?
Come and join?
Y'all look great.
This is the only thing that would bring me out of retirement.
Thank you all.
Best use of theme was the Birch family. Everybody, come on up. That was just...
Yeah!
I had to go on your shoulders in front of me when y'all came by and I went, oh, look at that.
That was awesome.
Unbelievable.
I want to know how long it takes y'all to put that float to, like, is this like a family activity y'all started like Thanksgiving?
The thing that caught you into our hands with a hot
right. So we like the Girl
Scouts. He's the owner of the vessel.
I mean, because y'all drove up and I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's a way to
win.
squeeze
we're
in.
We're going to be able to. Well.
I think I need y'all a little bit closer together.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay, don't go anywhere. Because y'all are also the grand champions. Y'all.
Yeah.
Get to the boat guy.
So we can get them all together. There you go.
Thank y'all very much.
Thank you. Thank you. We hope to see you next year.
And I'm sure that everyone I'd love to thank Amherst County for hosting this. It is, everybody can probably figure it out. You know, this is a family tradition for my family. The Birches love this. We look forward to it. We plan and plan and plan, and we get everything together. And we had a great time. We were not out here for awards, so that was the icing on the cake. The family time we had and the get-together that we had after the parade, we've got family that drove 10 hours to get here.
Wow.
And it could not have been any better. The memories that we've continued to put together and all of the fun that we have, and I get before we go any further, these awards are for Uncle Eddie. It's all about him. It is. It's his boat, and this is his lovely lady, Marilyn. That's what it's all about. I've tried my best to continue his spirit, morale, and just the fun that he brought to our family, and that's what it's all about. We love the lights, the music, and we love being a part of Amherst County's parade, and I do. I thank you guys for allowing that, and what a good time. And this is all for Eddie right here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You know, you can participate in the theme contest next year, you know, help kind of shape what the next one looks like.
I'll leave you with this. That boat will be back.
We'll just go from there.
It was obvious y'all were having a good time.
Yes.
There was a lot of stress going on, but not on that boat. Like, there's other people going, I can't get in line. I'm fretting about this. We're still building our float. And they're just on the boat, like playing the music, having a good time.
We never even had a number in the windshield. We were just anonymous.
We figured out who you were. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you for having us.
Okay.
Thank
sure.
You.
You'll see them on the Facebook.
Hey, that was our excitement for the evening.
Is there any way to send them to
and that was
probably
a fun start. I think that was great.
Thank
and
you.
Once again, I'd like to thank anybody that had a chance to attend. I think it was great, and the judges, Rachel and Holly Shiflett, chief's wife. And I know when the Birch family came through, everybody tapped her on the shoulder. It was like, hey, look at that one coming right there. Because that was definitely cool, especially when it passed and had the inflatable fish hanging off the back. But that was just great. So moving on now to town business. We have a public hearing on the comprehensive plan. We'll throw this over to Ms. Carter.
Yes, sir. So what we're dealing with is a request for a comprehensive plan amendment to allow Dave McCormick, who's developing the Amherst Milling Company for a brewery and the adjacent properties, really looking at trying to keep the rural and bucolic nature of the area around there. So in order to be able to get a conservation easement, there's a portion of that Virginia Code requires that be in conformance with the comprehensive plan. We bring this to you with a divided vote from the Planning Commission, so it was a 3-2 vote recommending denial. Mr. McCormick has requested a deferral on the action for 30 days to give us more time to figure out if there's a way we can kind of address his concerns, any concerns on the part of town council. But because the public hearing has already been advertised, we've already incurred that expense. What we'd like to do is go ahead, get the public comment, get some feedback from council, and then Mr. McCormick and I can continue the conversation and figure out if there are concerns that we can address through the process. And if you have any questions for him, here he is, if you want to add anything to that.
Sure. Should we do that now or wait till?
I think you could do that now.
I'll open the public hearing because somebody may have something that they want to address after they hear you speak.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for having me. I'm Dave McCormick. I live in Petersburg, but I own the mill. My goal here with this conservation easement is, as Sarah said, to really retain the bucolic nature and surrounding that area. I do own the property that was once slated to have a lot of those ranch houses there behind it, so we're controlling that right now. But I do think that it's so important to really preserve the mill and the surroundings, you know, even beyond my stewardship of the place. I really don't consider myself necessarily the owner of the thing. It's going to go on hopefully forever. So I am familiar with the comp plan. I spent a lot of time with it, and I do admit I didn't know that a actual change to the comp plan was necessary to do what we wanted to do. I thought we were just acting in the spirit of it. So when I read through that thing, in Section 8, it really makes a big deal out of preservation of historic structures and the potential for tourism and those structures and historic properties as economic engines in the area. And that's certainly what we're doing there. We're investing several million dollars in that property, hopefully create something really special for the town. And I really feel like there would be ultimately down the road a detriment to it if there's any encroachment on that property. So that's really the goal. I'm just looking really for preservation and ultimately a long-term preservation of the mill site. So that was the reason I bought it, was really not to develop, make sure no development actually happened on that site. I do realize that I didn't know there would be any opposition to it. Maybe that was just completely naive and presumptuous on my part. But now that I'm hearing that and I've heard some feedback from the commission, I'd like to understand, we don't have to do that now, but what the concern might be. I'd also like to maybe do a little bit of research on my end about the cost-benefit analysis, even if there was development on that property, what the demand might be from the town then in terms of additional services and things like that that might come along with it. Because I know really there's some questions around the ROI on having put the sewer and water in the ground, but I know there's other costs associated with actually developing that property. So I'd like to do a little of that. Maybe we can have a conversation around that and get back together on this in 30 days or so. So if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer.
We'll get to your questions after the public hearing, okay?
Great, thank you.
All right. Now, after that, I'll open the public hearing. If anybody would like to address this, which I do not have anybody listed. So we'll just wait. If anybody has changed their mind for a second, I will hand them the sheet so they can sign in. Okay, nobody before this, and nobody has signed in, so I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. As far as the vote, with the request for the 30-day referral on the vote, what I would like for council is if you have any questions of Mr. McCormick to ask, or Ms. Carter, she can explain the Planning Commission. We can all have a discussion between us at this point, and then schedule the vote for the January meeting after we've all had a chance to talk, and if we have any further questions, or I feel sure that Mr. McCormick will make himself available if some council members have some questions or things that they need, or with Ms. Carter, through Ms. Carter, to get some questions answered. I assume that would be correct?
No, absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have no questions. At some point, I would like to express my thoughts on it to Mr. slip of mind, Dave. But I don't know if this is the proper format or not.
That or I think it could be, and I, somebody please correct me if I'm wrong, but if you want to arrange something with Ms. Carter, because she has all the, you know, the thing where the three of y'all can get together and you can, you know.
I would appreciate, I mean, if council wants to have a bit of a discussion on this so staff has some guidance, that would actually be really helpful to me. So, I mean, if we want to have just some conversation about this amongst council, then that would actually give Mr. McCormick and myself something to work from, if that's...
Okay. So if you want to go ahead.
At this point, and I'm waiting to see what 30 days holds, I would be against it, and here would be my reasoning behind that. Last year, two years ago, we went through a pretty contentious... I guess debate with the county on a piece of property that was within the comprehensive plan, and they chose to take their own comprehensive plan to allow the property owner to do the easement. And in doing so, we had structured utilities and spent quite a bit of money and made plans for quite a bit of money to upgrade water and sewer lines or water lines to that, I think sewer lines too, wasn't it, Ms. Carter?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. To that property, and the county just disregarded the comprehensive plan. So now we have another piece of property Wenton Country Club, which really is not involved too much of us. But it seems to me that because these developers can get substantial tax credits for the easements, and that's a good thing for them, and I understand the preservation of the property, but here again we have a piece of property where the utilities have all been upgraded and are ready for, and it's put it into a conservation easement and it's dead. It will never be developed, so we're getting landlocked, mm-hmm. in my opinion, and that's pretty much my position on it at this point, but I can be had if you've got other arguments.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Am I?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, I very much appreciate, and I remember that case very well.
Right.
It was a bit when I think about the two different cases.
Right.
You know, this being the you know this the mill property itself is called out in the comprehensive
right.
plan as one of the most important historic properties in the county, and that's where my naivety came from. I thought we were really driving hard to preserve those things and really celebrate them and see them as economic engines versus the one out there on
right.
was it 60 or whatever it was
right.
where there was in a vacuum. So mm-hmm. I saw them as very different projects. And I'm hoping that there's an offset, you know, by preserving that mill. I think if there was development around that mill, it wouldn't be such a special place and therefore wouldn't be such a target for ultimately for investment. So I did make an erroneous assumption that everyone would be on board with that,
right.
not realizing we need the comp plan change. But that's where I'm really coming from this. And I certainly absolutely appreciate the fact that investment was made with the
right.
development in mind. And that's why I started thinking about, well, what other costs would there be to the town if someone did 100 years from now go out there and put houses out there? Would we have more costs around services? Have we really considered the comprehensive cost of, you know, potentially doing that one day?
Right.
In the short term, or even the medium and long term, during my stewardship of that place, I don't want to have that happening because I do think it would be a detriment to the business. And ultimately, as that stuff ages, you know, I too wonder
sure.
if, you know, if we're going to have fixes of things that are maybe unnecessary. So I'm wondering if we can save off some of that cost by doing this and maybe increase, you know, there's certainly a tax benefit to the town that's going to come from what we do out there. And I'm hoping we can use that land for even more activity, more tourism, and with bike trails and things. We're certainly talking to some of the folks doing that stuff around here and really amp up the tourism component. I think we'd only really do that without having all that development out there on the property. So even without the easement, we're not going to do the development. But as
right.
Sarah said, you know, that may be a 20 or 30 year decision. And I agree, it might be, you know,
right.
30, 40 years from now, maybe someone comes along and doesn't want that. But anyway, that just some thoughts. But.
Yeah, I know that the land that we're, I think the land we're talking about was not originally part of the mill property, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah, there's okay. that mill race subdivision.
This last third of mill, the second third of mill race that was never built.
Yeah.
So okay. It is this, the entirety of this piece of property, and then it would also be this piece.
Yeah, that piece okay. that the hand is on now is part of the mill property. That's the meadow that runs up along the back, mm-hmm. and then the rest of it is the final phases of the Millray subdivision, which failed back in 2009 or whatever that was. The interesting thing too, from the in the comprehensive plan, it says this that you know growth is very slow in the county. We did an appraisal out there that said really not to expect, even if a developer did put these lots up for sale, not to expect sales because the growth was so slow.
Well, I'm looking at something even longer term than that. I'm looking because this conservation easement is forever.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah.
Then it's over 100 years from now, nobody can build that. Period. And that's where, you know, that's where I'm coming. I have no problem if you don't want to develop it, and certainly you're right, you're land.
Yeah.
But locking it up for eternity, which even though I understand one of the legislatures had a piece of property that they had conservation easement on, and they tried to remove it, and they couldn't even do it.
Yeah.
So once it's there, it's there, it's done.
And I think if not for the mill, I there would be no argument, and that would be the case. But that I really think that we too should be thinking about the eternity of that thing being in the county. I mean, that's certainly what drew my interest in it. Hopefully that'll continue to be of interest in the town for forever as well. You know, we're spending all that money and invested in it because we think it's so special. Whereas I know there's limited places to develop homes in town, but I wonder which one ultimately should take precedence.
Well, don't get me wrong. I fully support your project that you're doing. I think it's a great job. You've made it look beautiful already.
Thank you.
And you're not done.
We're not even done yet.
So, I fully support your project. And I'm just going to have to bite a month chew on this a little bit, I guess.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad we're talking about it. Yeah. I did wonder what might be the questions and concerns, and this helps me so much to understand.
And I don't know what anybody else might have.
I have a couple questions. Am I correct to say that the property with the mill is about 17 acres, and with the historic spot at the meadow, and the rest is about 59?
That's right.
Would you consider just putting the 17 acres that's right with the mill in conservation?
Sure, I could easily go for that.
Another question, and I don't know if I'm allowed to ask this, what is the tax on that? And the tax comes to us, but what type of savings will that, what type of money will be taken away from the town?
Well, because the town doesn't collect any real estate tax from the town's perspective.
What about the county?
So the county, there would be a change in what they would collect in terms of real estate taxes.
Okay, what would be?
I don't know because I don't know how their parameters are going to be for.
Could we find that out for the next meeting? What type of savings?
I may be able to, but I'm not sure because it may require going to their assessor. But I can talk to their commissioner and ask the question. But you know, on the town side, that's not an implication for us.
That's what the county is. And also a concern I have, and I'm all for conservation, and I know it's a really good thing, but this is the town. As you just said, there's limited amount for development. And you say that it's not going to grow, but I think that's sort of our objective for the town is to try and generate growth, as you are doing for us, which is very nice. By the way, I'm Janice.
Hello.
I guess I'm supposed to. But anyway, like I said, you can't beat conservation easements, but I'd like to think we're going to be rocking and rolling here in this town before too long. We've got to. That's what people want us to do. And where are you going to develop if not there? So, I don't know. Those are just my opinion, my questions. I don't know if that's...
Well, I appreciate that, and I agree. I hope these project is really catalytic with other things that are going on, and it does create growth. Mm-hmm. I certainly hope that,
well, yeah,
and that's what we see in lots of the projects that we do. You start seeing other people suddenly get interested because something works.
Correct.
I think I agree with you completely that that's hopefully a short-term problem, that the demand isn't there or whatever it is. It's hard to know me personally what's happening comprehensively in the town, but I would really need to look at the ramifications of splitting this up. That, and I don't mean just the 17 acres, but even along that, you know, somewhere like the blue line there or something like that, trying to create a buffer. Mm-hmm. And I think right now, you know, when you look around that pastoral setting of the mill, the building is critically important, but so is that view shed. It's as important as the building itself. And I think if we start to chip away at that, we're going to be really chipping away at truly like the history and the story of that place.
Are you going to do anything like a stewardship forest, or are you going to plant? Someone has told me that you may be planting hops for your brewery. I mean, are you going to be doing anything with the land besides a trail? Are you going to
do a
stewardship forest or something like that? Crops.
Well, yeah. So right now, on the along the tracks on the 2 acres above the Baldock House, we already do have an orchard planted. That's been, it's about a year old now. There's a hoop house there. Up on that 17-acre meadow, there's a little herd of mini horses roaming around up there now and a couple donkeys. We have honey growing up that we're supplying in partnership with Blackheath Meadery. And that's all up on that rise as well. So that's one of the reasons that we really want to keep this stuff in a some semblance of agricultural use, because all that stuff is going to come back and go into the beer as ingredients. It's going to be part of our tourism program, and we're hoping people come to this site and really see what can be in a place like Amherst. I really think there's, as far as I know, there's only one other place that's even doing the kind of beer program they have, and the one thing they don't have is all of the other stuff that we do here. When I'm, you know, just coming from the window of, you know, beer making, brewing, ag tourism, and things like that, and I don't. This is an incredibly special place, and I don't think that can be understated. And that's really what I'm after.
And I do believe by you being a part of this. This is my opinion. I've seen it before. The other friends that have had breweries, it brings in a lot of excitement. You know, it brings in people to the location. So I see really, for me personally, both really good. Keeping it as a subdivision as well as keeping it maybe in a conservation.
I can see both sides.
But in the one last question, could you do part of it now and then vote on the other part later, or is that not what people do? Like in a year,
he can reapply in a year? Yeah, he can do it anytime. As long as he owns it, he can apply for it.
Thank you. Those are, I think, all I have.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you have a question? I don't want to step in front of
the time. Order doesn't care. I am, as in addition to the water, sewer utilities, the power utilities are coming as far as them crossing the land, putting up a pole. I mean, I don't know anything about conservation easements, but somebody did mention, you know, there's a conservation easement. We can't even take our power across the property. It's like, oh, geez. So I'm, again, concerned about the utilities and access as well as perpetuity.
I'm curious about that question. What would be a circumstance where that
I want to make sure that if we need to make a repair to our water line on that piece of property, that we can get to it.
Lines already there would be certainly the service.
Okay.
We would still have our easement. The point you bring up about not being able to cross it with power could impact future development on properties near this one. So, I mean, for example, you've got property here, you've got property, you know, somebody seeking to develop and gain access, it could impact their ability to do that.
I mean, I would hate to tell a person, you know, on the outskirts of it that, no, you need to run, you know, six more miles of line because we have a conservation easement.
That's one I'd love to explore with you to see what the potential negative benefit there, because it might be a, that fear may potentially be unfounded if we looked at a map together.
And I realize that. I do realize that I'm a worrier.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
But it was just mentioned. It was like, it's something we need to think about in the conversation.
Yeah, I'd love to explore it with you and just see, because if there's a negative negative to that, I mean, I'd certainly like to know that and be aware of it.
We need to know it to know if we're going to have to tell a resident, yeah, it's going to cost you $10,000 to get power to your property. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's an exaggerated number, right?
Sure. You know, the nice thing about what's happening here is the I can't remember the road names, but Millrace comes off of Union Hill, and that phase one was already developed. So you do have utilities in the ground, you've got the power coming in there, and there are lots for sale right now. But they've already been contemplated in that way, and they have those. I'd just like to look at that and see if that potential may or may not exist.
Ms. Carter, could you please show me, I'm assuming these are water lines and sewer lines on this map?
Yeah, the blue.
Could you please show me on which, the property that is in question for the conservation easement, how much pipe and how much infrastructure do we have running through that property?
So what you can see on the map is you've got the water line that comes down across. So this is the park property. And this is a pretty substantial water line that runs across the edge of that, crosses the bypass, and then feeds in through and then connects with the rest of the system.
Right.
This is all very high capacity line through here. Uh-huh. These are not little bitty ones.
Is that cutting right through the potential conservation easement?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So that water line comes through and it goes right across that conservation easement. What you see here is you've got this is sewer coming down.
Yes.
And around.
Okay.
So and again, you've got pretty good capacity through this area because of the connection. This is all large capacity existing infrastructure that's in the geography.
Okay.
So I mean, and that's been, you know, the concern that's been expressed to me but on the part of Planning Commission, that's been the concern on the couple of counselors who have spoken to me is, we've put infrastructure in the ground. We have an investment that if this is done, that investment is now just sitting. There won't be anything that will come of that portion of it. So that's where that is.
Okay, that's what I wanted to see, is how much is actually in the ground. We're not talking one straight pipe to feed a few houses. We're talking
that's part of it.
Miles
yeah, this,
of pipe.
This is and this is a portion of the network that's very interconnected and also has excess capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, and those are real considerations to, you know, what has been discussed. There's substantial capacity in the system in this location.
Okay.
Because the thought always has been, we're going to be serving this. At some point, this will develop, and we'll be serving this. So there's always been the thought that this is one of the development hubs, which is part of why you see the interconnectedness across 29 and going in both directions.
Okay.
And just to clarify, is the property in question this part and this part?
Correct. So the two pieces in question, there's this piece, as Mr. McCormick called the meadow, that was part of the mill property. And then there's this portion, which is the larger, approximately 59 acres, that is all the remainder of that Millrace subdivision. So the Millrace plat had sections that continued in this direction, and then it also had a section that continued in this direction. So the entirety of this piece was originally contemplated for development and has a preliminary plat for it.
Would you be willing to split that in half and do a conservation easement on the portion closest to the mill and leave the top portion of that open for development, future development? You know, kind of split it at the water line?
Split it around the water line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... I can take a look at what the implications of that might be.
Okay.
And I'm curious, too, is the line... That line is, like... Sorry, you said it connects everything. It's not... It wasn't put there just to serve the Millrace property.
It's, yeah, it's part of a circuit, yeah. Water line's running a big circuit because it just works better that way. So
yeah.
It's yeah. So it's beneficial to more than just that neighborhood.
And it can be worked on
Oh, yeah.
There's an easement on this thing.
I'm just thinking about the future development of, because the rest of that, the upper portion of that lot doesn't really affect the aesthetics of the mill as much as the lower portion.
Right.
That's why I'm wondering about a compromise.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I wonder. I think that's a question that I think would be interesting mm-hmm. to answer as we went through this. From a visual impact point of view, mm-hmm. what portion of this, if you're at the mill or you're coming down Union Hill, what is the portion that has the visual impact?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's one of the kind of data points you and I can look at.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also have one additional question, Ms. Carter, if you can. Overall, for the Planning Commission, I did read the minutes, but it didn't quite give details. What were some of the things said and shared by the Planning Commission members that we need to know as far as that's why the vote went the way that it went?
So it really was just the balance between the concern about the existing utilities and growth, because there is this concern on the part of the Planning Commission that there are limited numbers of places in the town where we can have development occur versus the ability to support what Mr. McCormick is doing out there. And that's it really wasn't anything more detailed than that.
Okay.
Yeah. Personally, I'd like to see a compromise because I definitely support what you're trying to do, and I support. But I really don't want to say no to all of it. But I don't want to lose the potential even 50 years from now.
Right.
You know, forever is a long time, and I don't want to lose the potential of that upper portion being developed.
Okay. Somebody else have anything? All right. Well, what we'll do is we'll defer that for 30 days. I think that gives y'all some speaking points, some target points to address. And if, like I said, if anybody on council has anything further, can contact you and can work it out to sit down and discuss it.
That stuff.
Okay.
Thank
you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Bye. See you later.
All right. Moving on. Next item. This next public hearing would be for the code amendment to table 7.1 of chapter 18 of the town code.
I apologize if this is sideways. That doesn't make it easy, but I can't make it oriented correctly and fit on the page. So, at any rate, this comes to you with a unanimous recommendation for approval from the Planning Commission. Essentially, this came up out of a question from a property owner regarding the ability to mix residential and commercial uses within the same building. So currently, if you are in this kind of downtown area, you are able to have a store on, or a restaurant or an office or whatever on the first floor, and you could put an apartment or a single family home on the second floor. However, if you're in either of the B districts, you have to choose. You can have a single family residence, you can have an apartment building, you can have an office. You cannot mix the residential and the commercial. And from the perspective of, from a zoning and planning point of view, that is very kind of old school thinking. We are just seeing more and more interest in the marketplace and people being able to combine live and work arrangements. And so when we think about, as you leave here, if you turn down 2nd Street, that entire section of 2nd Street is all zoned B2. So you've got houses there. But if somebody wanted to put offices or a business on the first floor of 2nd Street, one of those big houses that's like currently like a fourplex, and then keep the apartments above, we currently do not have the ability for them to do that in the ordinance. So this came up about a property on 2nd Street, not one of the big houses. But from my perspective in zoning and planning, there is no good reason in town why we wouldn't allow that. You actually do already have that in some buildings on 2nd Street. They predated this ordinance. So what I really want to do is bring this portion of the code in conformity with what we allow people to do in the Central Business District. So all this does, and you can see it is this simple, it eliminates the requirement that essentially the commercial be on the sidewalk level and the residential be on the second floor, because again, that's a very old school way of thinking. If somebody wanted to flip-flop that and have their house at the sidewalk level and put their office on the second floor, we don't have a good land use reason or zoning reason not to allow that. And then it adds that ability to mix the uses in both of the business districts. So that's comes to you with a recommendation from staff and the Planning Commission.
Okay, for that, I will open the public hearing on that. And with Ms. Carter's still, we have nobody sign up. Nobody to speak for or against? So I will close the public hearing and now open it to council, Ms. Wheaton.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you earlier. So I have a question. When I was looking at the minutes from October 3rd, it said that the request, staff recommends a change in the zoning ordinance to allow mixed use residential commercial in the same building in the B2 district. But then it follows through with there was a motion made that would allow for residential and commercial uses in the same building in both B1 and B2, which carried a 5-0-1 motion vote. But are we clear that when it was presented to the commissioners that it was B1 and B2 and not just
second? Yes, ma'am.
That is correct?
Yes, ma'am. Because that conversation happened very early in the process that I brought it just as the one district, and that was the comment that I immediately received back, why aren't you putting it in both? And so it's been advertised as both, it's been discussed as both at the Planning Commission and here.
And then you have the sidewalk entrance. So on Main Street, for example, Central, right now it's where, I'll just use Mr. Ogden as Ogden's store. Right now there's a store there, and I don't know what's on top, but let's just say there's an apartment. Well, he wanted to live on the top, fine. So what you're going to say now is he can move down on in his store level and live there, as well as just turn it into a residential building versus, do you see what I'm saying? So
by code, he actually already has the ability to turn that into an entirely residential building.
So he has access to
the
sidewalk.
He already has the ability by code to have turned that. So any of these buildings that are right downtown, they already have the ability to have residential. So the only thing we're removing from this is the requirement that if you have both, that the business has to be at the sidewalk level and the residential essentially above it. So we're just offering more flexibility for property owners.
But Central, you're just saying Main Street does have that ability right now. So this could become a bedroom community. You know, it could take a lot of, like, Lola's could become an apartment on the first floor.
It could.
Is there regulations regarding that? I'm just curious.
So currently, currently in the code, we already have the ability for someone to do residential downtown. So that is not the part that's changing. The part that's changing is allowing more flexibility with having that occur within the same building. So the residential is already a permitted use in the downtown without having commercial.
Okay.
So
this will be all over now, not just downtown.
This is, well, again, you can, right now, if you look at Second Street, by code, you can have residences on Second Street.
Mm-hmm.
By code, you can have commercial buildings on Second Street. What you can't have on Second Street by code is the two of them in the same building. Downtown, by code, you can have commercial uses, and by code, you can have residential, but in the downtown area, you can have them in the same building as long as you put the commercial at the sidewalk level and the residential essentially above. So the only thing we're eliminating downtown is that sidewalk level versus above requirement, because if somebody wanted to turn the Lola's building into the whole thing being a residence, they could do that already. So we're just saying, if you're allowed to use it for both uses, from a zoning point of view, I don't have a good reason to not be able to say that you can have the residence on the main floor and the office up above. And then allowing more flexibility in the business districts for people to be able to put those uses in the same building. And that actually tends to, as opposed to driving the market more towards residential, that actually usually ends up driving it more the other way, because people are able to you know, have that office at home. I no longer, if I'm trying to run a small business, I no longer have to go get a separate storefront. I can do more of that in my home.
Anything further? Nothing further. I will entertain a motion to. Well, I don't need to. It comes from council. I mean, from committee.
No, you still. It comes from the commission, so you still need a motion.
Oh, from the commission. I'm sorry. Okay. I need a motion to accept the motion from, or I guess the from the planning commission to change the code amendments from B1 and B2. Thank you. So have a motion from Mr. Watts, a second from Mr. Bunch. Is there any discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed, nay.
4-1-0. Next item, Ms. Carter, ratify the public hearing for the USDA bond hearing.
So in general, our practice is to have council set a public hearing at the previous meeting for the purpose of then having the public meeting hearing at the next meeting. This is something I kind of warned you. we're going to continue playing with this and do all the things that USDA wants us to do. So we've got some tweaks from USDA. Our bond council is now fully involved in the process. He is Dan Siegel's here tonight, who is our bond council for this project. But the first thing I need council to do is ratify the setting of the public hearing, because this has been advertised and set without your permission in anticipation that y'all wanted the slip lining project to get done as soon as possible.
Okay, so I guess we need a motion.
A motion to ratify the setting.
I make that motion that we ratify the public hearing.
I have a motion from Ms. Carter, a second.
I'll second it.
A second from Mr. Bunch. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? 500. Ms. Carter,
and
we'll have the public hearing.
Yeah, well, and with that, I would just ask Mr. Siegel to come up and work his magic. If you remember, Mr. Siegel was one half of the dream team that came and assisted us with all of our refinancing of our existing debt that saves the town approximately $1 million over the course of those loans, and helped us line up our debt service in a way that really puts our debt on the right footing to be paid off sooner and allow us to be responsible in how our facilities are managed.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, Council, so I think you have a copy of the resolution. I'll just explain it, and then if there are comments for the public hearing part of it, Mr. Mayor, I can sit down there.
So you explain and we'll open up the public hearing. If anybody's got any questions, we'll move on from
there. So in the action you took at the November meeting, it really, the RD resolution form says you'll go forward with following up with the authorizing resolution, whatever's required by state law. So that's kind of what this is. This is really following up with state law. So we've had the advertisement, which talked about the $3,017,000 RD loan for 40 years at 2.375. Dyslexia there. And that whole structure would start, you'd have 2 years of interest only, and then the amortization would start after the 2 years and go for 38 years. The installments would basically be about $10,000 a month. And this is for exactly what you talked about before, the slip line project, the sewer collection. So the notice that we had described the amount. It also includes, this resolution also includes at the end, the approval of a grant agreement with RD for the $1,076,000, I believe, of grant amount. So those would all come together. This borrowing, while it goes 40 years, you could pay it off anytime. So that's a great thing about an RD. Not so great part is that sometimes it takes a long time to match all their requirements. And I'd like to say that's going to happen really quickly, but oftentimes it's not as quick as we hope. So, but it's a great rate, it's a great time period, and that's what this resolution provides for. And I'll be glad to go through detail with any questions on the actual term. Mm-hmm.
We'll open up the public hearing, and then if there's any comes after that, we'll come back to you. How about that?
Yes, sir. I'll sit down and
quiet. All right. So now we'll open up the public hearing. And once again, there was nobody signed up to speak before or against. or for or against. And if there is nothing further, then we will close the public hearing. Does any member of council have any questions to ask either of these, Ms. Carter or the Mr. Siegel?
Mr. Mayor, if you could, if they could be a roll call vote on this.
Yes, sir. We can do that.
If there's a motion.
Yes, sir. Okay, so being nothing, we'll entertain a motion to move forward.
I make a motion that we adopt this resolution moving the bond process forward.
I have a motion from Ms. Carter and a second. A second from Ms. Ogden. Is there any further discussion from council? Okay, roll call vote. Ms. Bunch?
Aye.
Ms. Carter?
Aye.
Ms. Ogden?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton?
I'm going to abstain.
4-0-0-1. 4-4 and 1 abstention. Okay, next item on the agenda is. You going to get the list?
Yes, I am.
Okay. While she is gone to get the list, I'll explain the next one is set aside for citizens' comments. If anybody has any that is signed in, I will call. You'll step forward. You'll have 3 minutes to express what your comment is for the town. And then at 3 minutes, that's the comments are over. So first we have Mr. Beck.
You stepped up for a phone call.
Okay. Mr. Lee.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I come before you tonight to request the town of Amherst join the growing of localities, currently standing at 79, to stand up for constitutional rights of its citizens and to pass a resolution and to amend, or I'm sorry, to pass a resolution to make the town of Amherst a sanctuary city, or town in this case. The new proposed laws coming out of Richmond do nothing to protect the citizens, but only stand to infringe upon the rights and the liberties of the good people of the Commonwealth. These new laws do not only ban many commonly owned rifles, shotguns, and handguns that people own and use for home defense and other lawful purposes. Criminals already don't obey the law and never will. They certainly won't obey a new one. This is why we call them criminals. I fear that by restricting the rights of law-abiding people and severely restricting their means of protection, this will not only make criminals more brazen, this will only make criminals more brazen and violent. I would like to read a quote from Colonel Jeff Cooper. A politician with a law cannot stop a bad guy with a gun. Killing is a matter of will, not means. You cannot control the act by controlling the means. So, put simply, if someone has evil in their heart, they will find a way to accomplish their goal. And we have seen this time and time again all over the world and throughout history. People like to use alarmist terms like assault weapon, military weapon, and gun violence to frighten and intimidate the people. These are not assault weapons or military weapons. These are our protections from those that would cause us harm. These guns are not violent. They're not happy nor sad. They're an inanimate object not capable of acting on their own. These are acts of criminals, and we already know how they feel about laws. One last quote from Colonel Jeff Cooper before I close. If a violent crime is to be curbed, it is the intended victim who can do it. The felon or criminal does not fear the police. He does not fear judge nor jury. Therefore, what he must be taught is to fear his victim. I realize that asking you to pass this Second Amendment sanctuary is largely a symbolic act, but I ask again for the council to consider my request for a Second Amendment resolution. Thank you for your time and your attention.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let me see if Mr. Beck is.
Yeah, because I'm going to close it up if he doesn't come back in.
and step away.
Okay.
There'll be another citizen time at the end if you want to.
Yeah, if you want to sign in.
So, okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, next item is consent agenda for the council for the minutes from the November meeting. Is there any corrections to that? If there was not, I'll ask for a motion to accept the meetings as the minutes as presented.
I'll make that motion to accept the meetings as presented.
I have a motion from Ms. Carter. I have a second.
Second.
Second from Mr. Watts. Is there any discussion from council? In the discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? 5-0-0. Next item is staff reports. Does anybody have any questions, references, staff reports? They're all attached. Okay. Moving on. Finance Committee. Ms. Carton, y'all had one on the 13th. I think it's just the minutes.
Just the minutes. This is the same information as I provided at last town council meeting last month. So it's not any different.
Right, thank you. Ms. Ogden?
No meeting, no report.
Mr. Watts, y'all had a meeting on the 21st?
We did have a meeting regarding the fluoridation of water. And I'd like to, I think the committee has a recommendation, but we'd like to withhold that recommendation until council hears a brief presentation on both sides of that issue. Ms. Carter?
Ms. Carter and I believe Ms. Becky, right?
Yes, we'll kind of tag team a little bit. You have at your spot a one-page handout of some information that Ms. Cash put together talking about fluoride in the drinking water. Ms. Cash, would you like to review that with council? Would you like me to review that with council? What would
yes.
you? You'd like me to review? Okay, I'll review it and you can stand there and be ready for questions. So really what she's doing is going over for you. I mean, fluoride is a naturally occurring element. I mean, this is a mineral that's in water naturally in lots of places, particularly if you go further southwest Virginia. I mean, they have very high levels of fluoride in well water there. So this is something that's naturally occurring. And then in the 1940s, you started to have water systems introducing this as an actual process to help with tooth decay issues. And this is something that has been a long-term practice and recommended by the CDC, recommended from a lot of different sources from a governmental point of view. Our fluoridation system was actually put in as a VDH grant. I mean, if we wanted to get rid of it, that would have to come a recommendation from council. We would actually have to go through a process to make sure they would let us do that. But we really, this is being triggered by the fact that we are doing the water treatment plant upgrade. And if there is a change, this is kind of the time frame to just ask that question and make sure we're all on the same page. We did give you costs on the handout, so Ms. Cash went through, and you see that in 2018 you had a cost of approximately $5,400. In 2019, that cost has been closer to $2,800. When she broke that down, the difference between costs really has to do with the fact that there's certain lab equipment you have to keep on site, and then on the years that you have to replace some of those, you end up with a little bit more cost, and on the years that you can kind of keep your existing equipment, you end up with a lower cost of just the chemicals. There are benefits to fluoride that has to primarily for young children, but it does continue to help us even as we age in keeping the enamel on our teeth strong. As I mentioned, we still do have overall a recommendation from VDH, from the CDC, that we continue fluoridating. There has been in communities throughout the United States a concern about fluoridation in water because over fluoridation is a toxicity issue. Just as we put chlorine in the water, and chlorine is essentially a toxin that is bad for us, too much fluoride is bad for you. And so that's why there is a testing cost to ensure that we are not over fluoridating water. And in response to the fact that we have more fluoride in other things, higher concentrations in toothpastes and mouthwashes and everything else, the amount that they're actually feeding is less now than what it used to be sensitive to the fact that we don't want too much in the water. So there's this change in kind of what's being dosed, which is lower, and we don't get the same benefit we used to from it being provided in public schools, because in the public schools they actually provide bottled water. This just really comes from this point of view, like I said, we're bringing this up now because of the water treatment plant upgrade. Herb Reicher, engineer, still does recommend the public health forces are still telling you that this is the right thing to do. There is kind of a social justice issue that goes with this, that for some children who don't get good dental care, this is a really important item. But at the same time, we wanted to make you aware that there have been concerns that have come, not from community members here, we haven't had them here, but in other communities there have been concerns that have been raised, and we want to make sure that this is something that the town still wants to invest in as we move forward. And then the committee, if anything you want to ask or...
Do you think you'd like to add, subtract, delete?
No, I agree with everything that she said. I worked on all of this and I presented it to her and had her go through everything. And, you know, there are communities here locally that have stopped fluorinating, but recently have decided to go back to that. That would be Bedford County. I believe that was in 2017 that they stopped, and now they're going back to doing it. The town of Appomattox does not fluorinate, but the county does. So it's really a perspective, what you guys would like to see us do. There are concerns that people are having out there that they're bringing up and raising questions that you can see that'll pop up every once in a while on your news channels and stuff like that. Those are studies that have not had enough time to prove one way or the other. So those are things that are out there. We wanted to make you aware that they are things that people are questioning. Is it good to go ahead and add the fluoride because you do get it in other places? Is it not? The overall cost savings to an individual throughout all social economical groups would be like, the quote was like $28, $38 per person, that saving them in some of the dental costs. I'm not sure how the dental people came up with that cost, but that was one that just seemed to continue to pop up throughout my research that I was looking at. So really we're just wanting to see which direction you guys would like us to go.
I'm sorry, there was some concern though on the space when we were doing the renovations, was it not?
It was some concern about doing some of the space upward in the upstairs, but Gary and I have been talking and have refigured some of the space that we could do some stuff downstairs and try and keep all of our chemicals together in one spot. The old chlorination room, once we deal with the water that's in that room, we could actually make a small room right there because fluoride has to be in its own room. It's very corrosive. We have done at the water plant to help reduce some of that, and it's too late for the room that it's already existing in, and the corrosion is already there. But the fluoride comes in like a 30-gallon drum or 50-gallon drum, whichever one you've gotten. We are moving back to the 30-gallon drums because that's what our scale is rated for. What we've done to help try and keep some of that from the atmosphere is we have drilled a hole in one of the caps and just have a tubing that goes down through that cap, so that you don't have as much exposed to the air. So when you open up the door and you walk in, now you're not getting that odor like you were before. It was already so corroded, I can't tell if it's improved or not improved because it's not a way to tell the difference. We can put it down where that room is. That is an outside wall. So we could put another vent there because it really just needs to be a little bit smaller space. And with those 30-gallon drums, it won't be a big issue.
All right. Okay, Mr. Watts, okay, we'll take your recommendation. And
Based on what we've heard, especially at our committee meeting and tonight, our recommendation is to continue the fluoridation of the water.
Okay, we have a recommendation that comes out of committee, so we'll just open it for council questions, discussion. Is any council members have any questions of the committee? There being no questions, since it comes out, we'll open it up for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? I think it was five. Everyone, mm-hmm. It's 5-0-0. All right. Other reports. Planning Commission, we have the minutes attached. Is there any further from what was attached from the Planning Commission?
No, sir.
Ms. Porter, the IDA did not meet. Anything from the water?
I did not receive anything from them. I think they might not have met in this cycle.
Okay. All right. Next item up for discussion is appointment of representative of the Planning Commission. Ms. Wheaton, I'd like to reappoint you to that. If you will accept, then I will ask for a motion of acceptance from council.
I accept, thank you.
Okay.
I'll make a motion.
A motion from Mr. Watts. Have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Ms. Carter. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? 5-0-0. Next, Ms. Carter. We're requesting the question regarding the signing.
And I really wanted to just update you about this because I'm not asking for anything from council at this point, but I like to keep y'all informed, and then that way if you have any questions about it, you can kind of, I can keep you plugged into the process. We had a request from McDonald's about the ability to replace what is their kind of text sign that they have to get somebody out on a ladder to put specials out with an LED changeable text sign, so an electronic sign. The current sign ordinance does not allow for any electronic signs other than time and temperature signs. Mm-hmm. So, and we even had some discussion about this at the Planning Commission level when the sign ordinance was redone. And at the time, we hadn't had any requests for it, and the Planning Commission said, we're gonna leave it the way it is until that's something that people actually start requesting. And so we've now had the request from McDonald's, and I actually had a conversation with Nancy Johnson at the Methodist Church, and she said that they'd actually like to do an electronic sign as well. So I think we're starting to get to the point that, you know, people have watched this technology and seeing how it is playing out, and they're starting to have be some interest in town. So the Planning Commission is taking this up. They are going to have me present them some options at their January meeting with the intention of having a public hearing in February. So that's the track they're on. Then if they've come to, you know, some sort of recommendation, then they will send it on to council. The specific things that they're asking me to provide to them is just some options about what are the kind of variations we can do. So in Cumberland, when we redid the sign ordinance, one of the things we did, for example, is we allowed the electronic signs, but we put limitations on how bright it could be and how frequently the text could change. The county, Mr. Four is on their planning commission. He pointed out that they have redone the sign ordinance and addressed some of those same kinds of questions. So I'm going to take some options to the Planning Commission, let them give me some feedback, and we'll proceed on having this discussion and bringing something to council in the future.
Ms. Carter, I'm a little bit of a dinosaur, so forgive me if I'm way behind the times on this. At one point in time, VDOT had a lot of input on those types of signs. Is that still the case?
So VDOT is very much, there's a lot of signs in Virginia that are these electronic signs,
right,
that I will tell you are illegal from a VDOT point of view.
Okay.
So if you are within a certain number of feet of the right-of-way, VDOT will drive your lumens and the amount that it changes.
Okay.
But it's a limitation about how close it is to the right-of-way that they've got kind of a bite at that apple.
Right.
What we did in Cumberland is we actually took the VDOT standard and applied it to everything, because VDOT's kind of already answered that question about, we don't want it to be red, we don't want it to be green, we don't want it to be flashing, we don't want it to, you know, be too bright. And so we just took that exact same standard and said, hey, you have to do that whether it's on your building or right beside the VDOT right of way. So that's one of the options that I will take to the Planning Commission here, is we're going to be in compliance with that, but across the board.
I would also like to see my concern, because I read the proposal that the Mr. Freeman sent from McDonald's, and they said they proposed a 3x5. So to me, I'm thinking it's 3 feet this way and 5 feet this way. I would like to see maybe there's some kind of a formula, like according to how big the building is or how many square feet they have, that's what sign they set, or how much property they have, that's the sign limit. But what I'm afraid of is the sign being too big and that close to the road, that it's going to be a safety issue or you know, that we come become start looking like the Vegas Strip.
So, I'm wondering if it's the same size as the one that's there now.
It the, what they're proposing is a replacement of what they have.
Exact
so
same size.
Essentially, it is the same size. In terms of overall size of signs, and because the Planning Commission, there was a little bit of discussion about this with them as well. At this point, unless you put something in the code that says otherwise, mm-hmm. all of the size questions would come down to it being the same standard as what you currently have.
Okay.
So if you have a freestanding sign and you're allowed to have 24 feet of freestanding sign, you can have 24 feet of LED changeable text sign.
Well, that's
so unless you place some sort of additional limitation on how much you're willing to accept of the
right.
electronic sign, then it would just roll over to be exactly what
I
you allow.
I would think that something would need to be done because the electronic sign is so much brighter and it's more distracting than just a placket.
Mm-hmm.
That there needs to be some kind of a calculator.
Okay.
That's my 2 points, mm-hmm. my 2 cents.
I
think
it needs to be. And the illumination.
Yeah.
I work in Colleen, and there have been many mornings where I come down around that corner and the light that is at Blue Ridge Medical makes me, it's like this, there's a cop up there. I mean, it's there's this flash of blue, and it's offensive that far away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to be, if CVS does it, if, I mean, that circle could go mm-hmm. from our quaint little icon to Vegas. And,
right.
Ugly quick.
Okay. I will pass that on to the Planning Commission. Size limitations sound like they would be a good thing.
Next, matters from staff. Chief?
Just a quick update on the building. We got our occupancy permit yesterday, so we'll be getting furniture delivered next week, and we'll be starting the transition of moving next week. Buildings just about complete. They've got a few touch-ups over there they want to do, make sure it's right, cleaning, that kind of thing. So everything's pretty much done. Construction's done, other than the lobby window, which is supposed to be in hopefully this week. Secondly, toy drive ends on Monday, and so far this right here is just what's been dropped off here. We've surpassed last year's totals. So yeah, we've got a trailer out back that's just about full in a basement of the police department that's got
wow.
quite a few.
How are you doing with clothes?
Very, very little clothes.
Okay.
Like we last posted on Facebook, we still need stuff for like teenage kids, clothes, jackets, anything of that sort.
Teenage
right.
kids just want money.
That too.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
That's the last time I saw
them.
And
giving them
they have personalities.
So that's where we stand on that. We've had a pretty good year so far. I mean, we plan on doing some numbers for you guys to see what's going on with us. All our guys are currently all recertified, all the training's up to date. The number of extra schools have been attained. So we've got a lot of certifications that have taken place here last year. I feel good where we're at. Things are moving along at a good pace. Once we get over here, maybe we can take a break, take a little bit of a breather. But staff's been doing well. Everybody's pulling their weight. We're doing fine.
Thank you. Anything further?
Yeah.
The water department would like to report that this last 6 month period, we have now passed our lead and coppers for this 6 month period. What that means now is if the next 6 months we pass those as well, then we will start on a yearly sampling. So some of this was done because I've had people request to be sampling sites, and that threw some of them in that, you know, to balance out some of the homes that were having issues. I'm still willing to work with the customers, and I've let them know that, but as far as I've exceeded what I can do up to my point on a few places. But yeah, we're looking up in that perspective right now.
Good job.
Mr. Garrett?
I don't have anything. Becky set it up.
Well, thank you for your Christmas work
yes.
over here. It's very impressive.
Yes,
thank you very much. Ms. Tracy? speaking.
I hope you guys noticed that the minute recordings are on the website. And that y'all had no trouble.
I have not been to the website to see that, but I will take a look at it.
They're right there with the agenda minutes. Just go right to that, and there's a little tab right along with that also. So easy to find. And if you can't find something, just let me know.
Mr. Barrett?
Been right busy.
All right.
But nothing to add right now.
Okay. And Ms. Carter, anything you'd like to add?
I just really hope council, I just want council to know what a great staff you have in terms of doing this parade. This was like a all hands on deck experience. I mean, every officer working, all the maintenance crew. I don't even want to think about how much time Vicky put in of her own time on this. Tracy and her group, you know, managed what was going on in terms of Santa's visit. Of course, we know that Mr. Williams makes everything look perfect and beautiful, but the staff really performed as such an incredible team to make everything happen the way it did. And at the end of that, instead of staff going like, we never want to do that again, we're sitting there at the post-parade meeting going, oh, we could have like storefront decorating contests next year. And I'm thinking, we have all come off this incredible thing. We're all tired. And then they're thinking about, what are we going to do next year to make it even better? And we are really, really blessed to have the staff we do. They did phenomenal work.
Not just in this thing, but I've said it before, I'm impressed with just about every aspect of our staff. And I would put our staff up against any, as far as putting in the work and being energetic and dependable. Maybe.
All right.
Thank you all.
Now, Maximum Council, I will start first. I would like to thank Miss Vicky, because like Miss Sarah said, Miss Vicky went over and above. If any of you watched it on YouTube where it was the Dwayne and Dr. Rob Arnold show, Vicky made sure that we had something on every group that came through, a little thing. And when we couldn't find it because they got out of order, we made it up, but it still worked. But she made sure that we had, you know, we knew exactly, and like the Birch family said, well, they were incognito. No, we knew who they were. We knew all about them because we had a sheet that told us. So I would just like to thank her for her time she put in, and that helped make it a great success with everybody else. One other thing, and I would like to ask for a consensus from council on this, regarding the comments that Mr. Lee made earlier. I would like to ask Mr. Barry to research this issue. I know that there's only been 6 towns in the Commonwealth that have gone this way as far as the sanctuary. I believe a lot of them may be riding on the county's coattails since the county. But there are a lot of other views on this which are out there that are very good, Rockingham County for one. So I would like for the support of council to have him review and be able to give us a presentation on what he's found with these other towns before, you know, we put it on the agenda and make a decision one way or another. I'd like to have the research in front of us. So if I can just, I'm not asking for a vote at this. It's just a consensus to turn it over to Mr. Barry. Just head nods from everybody. I got Mr. Okay. All right, Mr. Barry.
I've been anticipating that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad I was on that real quick. Okay, we'll go back around. Ms. Whedon.
No, I have no comments.
Mr. Watts.
The only question I had, who consists of the parade committee? What? Who?
I think it was everybody.
would you like to be on it next year?
We loved it. We're looking for more.
It was the staff, and I was on it, and staff, and then
Mike Cargill from the schools,
yeah, from
who
the
did
schools.
All like those videos leading up to it. So, and then, of course, at one meeting, we did have VDOT there. So, I mean, but the core group were
the department directors and of staff, and then Mike Cargo from the schools.
I would like
and
to
the
see
mayor.
Some outside organizations participating, mm-hmm. because I think that I just don't want the town to become responsible for doing this every year completely. I mean, Rotary Club at one time offered, and they were ready to go, and I don't mean for them to take it over. I think it worked very well the way it was, but I just there's no community involvement. The town's doing it all.
Well, one of the things we did discuss in our post meeting was getting more volunteers, and that's where we'll take care of that. We'll get into that with yeah. with because I know John. My mind just went blank. From the veterans.
Mason.
You know, he had once a couple years ago committed the guys that were carrying the flags and
right.
stuff. So, and I know, like I said, at the post parade meeting, we did talk about getting more volunteers and more in, and that was in there. How we were going to do that was get some of these community groups back involved. They had been involved,
right.
and then after last year when nothing happened, I think they just
right.
kind of. So now that's going to be
I just like to see us work to try to get them back involved where the town's not doing absolutely everything.
Yeah, well, that's what we did discuss that, getting more volunteers, getting more people in. So
that's all.
Ms. Ogden.
I don't have anything.
Ms. Carter?
I love the parade. I've always loved the parade, so I was super excited that we did it and super proud. And thank you for asking me to be a judge. That was so much fun. If I can do it again next year, I will. But we had a good time. But yeah, good job, everybody. Kudos. Excellent. And everything I'm hearing from everyone outside, like even at work, you know, and out in the community, they're just like, the turnout was such a good turnout. We didn't think we were going to have that many people. And
what was Dean thinking?
It really was. It really was good.
I think that Mike Cargill's work with the tech club and the videos that they put out, I think, did an unbelievable job publicizing. And with having a year off, having a change in route, and having a new group running it, I think the fact that he did all of that just legitimized that this mm-hmm. was going to be the real deal.
Right.
And he did ask us, he said, what do we think of the 12 days of Christmas? And I don't know if anybody caught that on Facebook, but they did 12 days of Christmas. They started out and worked it all the way up to the parade day.
Oh.
So
I didn't
yeah.
that much. So they had cute.
They had one that was the parade route. They had one that was, right. I mean, they had highlights from previous parades. But, I mean, it was videos.
Oh, cool.
Right.
Okay.
So they
didn't catch all that.
Because he asked us what we thought of it. And we all thought, that's great. Keep that going. Because that was.
It's all still on our Facebook page.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's almost 2,500 views of the parade.
Mm-hmm.
I checked last night and it was over 2,400. So. I mean, that's a
crazy.
Big deal. So.
Well, and the fact that we had people come from Georgia and
pull
them out and
come in the parade,
If we have comments about the parade, may we discuss it later? Is there another time? I mean, I understand y'all had a meeting afterwards, it sounds like. But if there are other, without going into it tonight, is there another time to bring up questions about it or comments?
You're certainly welcome to send that on to me or give me a call, because I mean we've got a list that we're
I mean, you probably have, yeah,
keeping up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mr. Bunch.
No, sir.
Okay. Anything that we should be aware of that may come up soon on the agenda, Ms. Carter? I think you
nothing that's going to be new or a surprise.
Okay. You would check, or Chief, if you would step out there and check. She's already there.
I'm already too late. You gotta be quick.
That's assault.
I heard it
every day, man.
Every day.
Long as not a belt.
Citizens' comments. Nobody signed up, so we have no comments for that. So I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion, we adjourn. I'll
second. I have a motion
it.
From Ms. Carton, second from Ms. Ogden. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, 500.
Thank you for the goodies.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, no, I have one.